Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
In 2016, we win 12 games. I'm up for the MVP. I get MVP votes. I played better the last 2 years than I did those 2 years, you know, in that year. I didn't get any MVP votes. Didn't even go back to the Pro Bowl. So, to me, I know what I put on film. You know, I've talked to some coaches out here that I've played against, and just what they say to me, that means more to me than getting outside attention.
That's Raiders quarterback Derek Carr speaking this weekend. I think that was from the Brother from Another show on the Peacock Network. They do a great job over there. And Derek Carr was participating in the golf tournament this weekend up at Lake Tahoe. Beautiful setting out there. Jeez, does it not make you want to just drop everything and head to Lake Tahoe? Yes, exactly. And I felt the same way when the Golden Knights earlier this season, or actually last year, now that I think about it, or was it this year? I can't remember this calendar year or not. But anyway, they went up to Lake Tahoe to play a game, a regular season game, out overlooking the lake. There was snow. It was just beautiful. But anyway, by the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is a Monday. We are 2 weeks away, 15 days, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow, exactly, the Raiders will be gathering over at their practice facility and headquarters in Henderson to begin officially the 2021 season. I am beside myself just thinking about it. I got a little trip that I'm going to make here in a little bit to Italy just to get some rest and relaxation, see some family members there before returning and hitting the ground running. With the Raiders, covering the Raiders. You know, I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal, obviously, host the show Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. In the Huddle, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. I can't wait to get started, and I really, truly believe that the Raiders feel the same exact way. I feel and have sensed a different vibe around the Raiders throughout the entire offseason from what they did last year, some of the good things that they did last year, especially offensively. Some of the improvements that they made on defense from Gus Bradley, the new defensive coordinator, to bringing in a Yannick Ngakoue along the defensive line with Solomon Thomas, Darius Filon, Quentin Jefferson, bringing in Casey Hayward, a veteran defensive back, cornerback, drafting Trayvon Morig, somebody who was projected to go in the first round, ended up being a second round pick, and somebody that is expected to fill that free safety position at a really high level. Based on all of those things, guys getting better, Henry Ruggs coming back in much better shape, the addition of Kenyon Drake on offense, the drafting of Alex Leatherwood to solve the right tackle position, some of the improvements or changes that they've made along the offensive line. The vibe that I've gotten from the Raiders throughout the offseason was different this year compared to last year. Remember, how many times did I tell you guys last year, you know, getting some texts and worrisome texts, just like, oh man, you know, this not having an off season, we're really relying on a whole bunch of young players and a whole bunch of new guys. This isn't going to help. This is going to hurt. We're going to feel this a little bit. There's going to come a time where this is going to be something that really hurts us. Not having OTAs, not having a regular offseason program, meeting together for the first time as a team in training camp last year. Imagine that. I get it. Everybody had to go through that. There's no question about that either. Every single team went through the same exact situation. Oh, one little difference. The Raiders were making a move from Oakland to a new market here in Las Vegas. That kind of gets forgotten in the overshadowing of everything that COVID-19 did to last season. What got lost almost, inexplicably so, this would have been the whole story coming into last year or throughout last year, was the Raiders were making a move from one city to the next. Historically, go look back at the success rate of teams that have made similar moves over the years. The Rams, the Cardinals, the Oilers going from Houston to Tennessee to be the Tennessee Titans. It's never conducive. There's always something that it's just such a drastic change. And I know that, you know, as fans, you look at it and, well, they're out there on the field, it's just football. I mean, how hard can that be? Well, imagine everybody moving, the entire organization from ground up. During a pandemic, by the way, making that kind of a move during a pandemic, nobody could get into the building. The buildings weren't open. Trying to move and get housing in the middle of a pandemic. I know I thankfully beat that by about a month or so, moving from California to Las Vegas myself. I can only imagine what it would have been like waiting a little while longer and having to deal with that. Oh, can't get into the house, can't take a look at it. We'll have to do everything remotely. Yeah, we can do those things nowadays, but it makes it a hassle, doesn't it? So on top of everything else, the Raiders were making a move from Oakland to Las Vegas. I don't even remember, and I cover the team, I don't even remember writing that sentence more than a handful of times. As a contrast, when I covered the Rams when they got back to Los Angeles from St. Louis after 21 years out in the desert or out in the wilderness out there in St. Louis where they should have never been to begin with, thanks Georgia Frontieri, that was a great move. Who makes that move going from Los Angeles to St. Louis? But I digress. Everything I wrote pretty much centered around the Rams making the trek back to Los Angeles and the monumental undertaking that is. They ended up finishing 4-12 that year. I'm not blaming it on the relocation, but it didn't help. It certainly didn't help, and it certainly didn't help the Raiders last year. Nevertheless, there were some really good things about what happened last year. That offense was explosive. That offense was a playoff caliber offense. When was the last time you can say that about the Raiders, everybody? When? 2016? That seems like an eternity ago in the world of sports. That was a huge step forward, and it's part of the foundation of good vibes that I have felt about this team, in and around this team, talking to people, as opposed to this time a year ago where everything was so uncertain. John Gruden hadn't even seen his team at this point. There were still, I have to go look back at when training camp actually started. Don't want to get my dates wrong here. But 2 weeks away, put it this way, last year, 2 weeks away from training camp, he hadn't even seen his guys in the same room together, let alone on the field. He had no basis, especially with all these young guys and especially with all those new faces. Imagine that. Don't want to use it as an excuse. It was part of the Raiders' journey last year, and that journey got them to 8-8. That's the bottom line. The Raiders' journey, moving from Oakland to Las Vegas, no offseason, a whole bunch of young players on defense, a whole bunch of new faces on defense. The journey that they took, that included everything that was the result of COVID-19, delivered them to an 8-8 season. No excuses. That's who they were last year. But I'll tell you, there was some concern behind the scenes that was exactly what was going to happen, especially defensively. Felt really good about the offense. Yeah, we've talked about that before. It was an older offense. You had a quarterback that was going into year three under the same system for the first time in his career, Derek Carr. He had never had that kind of longevity with the head coach and an offensive coordinator and a system. You had Josh Jacobs coming back. You had Darren Waller coming off a Pro Bowl caliber season. You had an offensive line that was going into last year thought of as the best offensive line in the NFL. Didn't work out that way. We all know that. You had Nelson Aguilar, who I kept telling people, you're sleeping on Nelson Aguilar. This guy can play. Had a good year. The offense had a good year. It was a top 10 offense. The defense, not so much. But the good vibes that I felt and why the narrative, and I'm talking about even inside the building, is different this year. And I talk about last year because it's important to point out kind of what was going on behind the scenes last year as opposed to this year. This year, there's much more confidence. There's much more optimism. There's much more of a feel of things headed in the right direction. It's a better team collectively across the board. It's a deeper team. It's a faster team. It's a more athletic team. Yes, things have to work out accordingly on the field. It always does. But what I'm saying is the feeling about the team going into this year is different than it was last year. And granted, what could John Gruden have truly known definitively about his team last year? Zero. There was not much that he could have really known about his team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He hadn't seen any of those guys throughout the offseason. What did Gus Bradley talk about recently? 200 snaps, 200 reps, I should say. 2,000, I should say. 2,000. His defense got 2,000 reps during the offseason. That defense had zero reps going into training camp last year. So, yeah, they're going to have a better idea of what they have, and it's made them feel pretty good about what they have. And I'm not just talking about coaches. There's players, and they're like, "This feel pretty good, right? Feel pretty good. Feeling pretty good about going into this season. Feel pretty good. Feel pretty good." That's a good thing, and it circles back to what Derek Carr was talking about to start the season, or what he would to start the show, I should say, about how he played better in last year compared to his quote unquote MVP caliber year in 2016. That 2016 team went to the playoffs. Unfortunately, he couldn't go. He broke his foot the game before the regular season finale, ruined everything for the Raiders. But he got him there playing, by his estimation, not as good as he played last year with the Raiders going 8-8. It just shows you have to have a good team around you. And the quarterback can't do it all by himself. That's never happened. That's never been the case. Nobody in any sport can do it all by himself. Did you watch the NBA Finals last night? If you did, you'd have seen Giannis doing pretty much the same thing that he did in Game 2 in Phoenix. Only this time, his supporting cast showed up and delivered. And they didn't the game before. The star player played the same exact game, essentially. The players around him elevated their game, and it was a blowout in Game 3. And if those players in and around him can play similarly in Game 4, this thing's going back to Phoenix tied 2-2, because I think the Bucks have the best player on the floor. He's the best player left in these playoffs. But like anybody, great player, not so great player, whatever, you need help. He needs help. Derek Carr needs help. Derek Carr got help last year offensively. A lot more weapons around him last year. Also, just his understanding and his command of the offense made him a better quarterback as well. But it helped that he had Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Nelson Aguilar, Josh Jacobs. And to me, that offense can be actually even better this year when you add Kenyon Drake, a healthy Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, Henry Ruggs taking a step forward, Brian Edwards taking a step forward, John Brown, Willie Snead, Foster Moreau now fully healthy. He needs the defense, though, to step up. That's what this is all about. And in spite of everything that happened in defensively last year, they were ranked 30th in points allowed. They were third worst in so many categories: turnovers, sacks, getting teams off the field on third down. It was a cluster, you know what, far too many times defensively. And, you know, we talked about this last week. And actually, here's, in spite, before we get to that, in spite of that, in spite of all of that, the Raiders were 8-8 last year, which is kind of miraculous when you think about it. When an offense gives up, when a defense gives up 30 points a game, it's just, I'm just saying, that's not easy to do. And it shows you how good Derek Carr played and that offense played. To get to 8-8, in spite of a defense that's given up 30 points a game, it's not easy to do. And history proves that. Nevertheless, they were this close to making the playoffs or winning 11 games. And here's Derek Carr talking about that.
Well, I mean, we're 3 or 4 plays away from having 12 or 11 wins, like literally 3 play. And it's like, we're so close, you know, and especially we feel so confident on the offensive side with all the weapons that you mentioned and all those kind of things. And now adding Coach Gus Bradley and Yannick and the different guys that we've added to our defense. I mean, we're kind of excited, you know, to say the least, you know, so we're really looking forward to the season. I'm trying not to get too excited. You know, I've learned in my 8 years when I get too excited, you know, okay, I'm going to keep like this. And we'll show up on Sundays. Yeah. You know, we'll show up on Sundays.
We'll flap a little radar
and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's JT.
That's Derek Carr talking on The Brother from Another show, which is on Peacock Network. And they were out at the big golf tournament up in Lake Tahoe. Again, just majestic beauty in Lake Tahoe. I went there last year for the first time in my life. You know, it's one of those places, living in California my whole life, basically. Got to get up to Lake Tahoe. Got to like get up to Lake Tahoe. I'm Italian. If you've seen The Godfather, the opening of part two or very early in part two, the Corleone family has now transferred from New York to Nevada, and they're up at Lake Tahoe, and there's this wedding scene, or no, it's a communion scene for Michael Corleone's young son who's got his first communion, and they have this big party on Lake Tahoe. And that's the first time as a kid, when I'm a little kid, and my dad finally said, yeah, we can watch The Godfather, I'll let you watch it. And I was just like, yes, I get to watch The Godfather. Greatest movie of all time, by the way. And seeing Lake Tahoe, like, Dad, where's this? Oh, you know, that's up north, Northern California. And from that moment on, I'd always wanted to go. But for whatever reason, opportunity never presented itself. Got up there last year, and it's breathtaking. It's one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. And I'm going to one of the most beautiful places this week. I'll be in on the Amalfi Coast in Italy, so I'll be able to compare the two. I've never been to the Amalfi Coast. I'm looking forward to it. But if it's anything like Tahoe, and I'm sure it is, it's just one of those places that you have to go to. So I highly recommend it. But back to the more pertinent news is that Derek Carr, speaking up at Lake Tahoe over the weekend, talking about how the Raiders were 3-4 plays away from being an 11-12 win team. And I know that it caused an uproar. We talked about it on Friday. We got to it on Friday. I don't understand why it caused such an uproar. And I'm not talking about, you know, the national people or, you know, fans of other teams. You're going to get that sampling. You're going to get that element if something gets put on Twitter, and it did. Pro Football Talk put it out on Twitter and wrote a little story about how Derek Carr felt like the Raiders were 3 plays away from being an 11-12 team, and a whole bunch of comments underneath the tweet, you know, we're kind of bashing Derek a little bit. How could you say that? You know, everybody says that, et cetera, et cetera. And I get that. You know, most fans who watch their team and are devoted to their team and have a passion for their team and are watching their team on a play-by-play, day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis, they don't, it's almost humanly impossible to have that kind of a devotion or the intuitive knowledge that you have as a result of that kind of devotion, it's almost humanly impossible to have the same for a team that you're not paying that much attention to. There's no way a devoted Steeler fan was, you know, on the side, on the down low, keeping an eye on the Raiders to that extent, to know play in and play out and game in and game out and how games all 16 games unfolded and how it all transpired. They just don't. But I understand, looking at it from afar, you're 8-8. That's it, brother. Nothing else needs to be said. Forget about three plays away. How could you say that? I get it from that element. They shouldn't know. It's impossible to. But when I hear and I see, you know, because we put it out there on Twitter last week as well, and over the weekend, even Raider fans, you know, we're trying to come with the argument, well, if the offense had just done this, this, and this, I get it. The offense could have played better. Every offense can play a little bit better. Anytime a team loses a game, you can nitpick the offense and say, well, they should have scored this. They could have scored that many points. You know, okay, but let's look at this logically and realistically. The Raiders lost 5 games last year, where they scored 23 or more points. I think it was 4 where they scored 25 or more points, and 3 when they scored 27 or more points. All right, it's like, and one of those was they scored over 30 points. Obviously, by definition, when you lose, you don't score as many points as the other team. So you could argue, well, if the offense had just scored another time, okay, I get it, I understand that, yes. But you can't ask the offense to play perfect football game in and game out. And honestly, that was almost the only way the Raiders could win last year. And they darn near did it 11 times, leaving the field with the lead 3 times. Late in games, a minute 43, 19 seconds left in overtime. You can't expect everything the offense can't be perfect. At some point, you have to blame the defense, and you have to say, Derek Carr, he did his job more than enough, and I'll stand by that. Got to get the defense fixed. If you gave him just halfway better defense last year, the Raiders are in the playoffs. No questions asked. But yet and still, there's still Raider fans who are like, no, it's Derek Carr's fault. It was Derek Carr's fault. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. I reject that notion. It wasn't Derek Carr's fault.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
By the way, real quick, before we get out to the listener line, I'm just going to say it. I grew up a New York Mets fan. Kumar Rocker, the Mets drafted him 10th overall, the tremendous pitching prospect from Vanderbilt University. I was doing like high fives with my son yesterday because he kept falling and falling and falling. I think that there was probably some sort of an agreement or whatever. They're going to pay him a lot more money than they would normally, the 10th pick overall. But man, to get that, he's going to fit perfectly in New York, and I am just ecstatic. Had to throw that out there because talking a little bit of baseball. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. On a Monday, we're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Dave is in Denver, wants to talk about a Marcus Mariota package, which I am all for. How you doing, Raider Dave?
I'm doing pretty good. First, I wanted to try to get your quick response. I'm sorry, last time I called, my phone crapped out. But how about with Brady never asking for more and more and more money? He always was very conservative, much like Carr has been, but yet Carr gets a bunch of flack for it where Brady didn't. And Brady understands, and I think any smart quarterback understands, if you take a little less money and don't break the bank, you got a better team around you.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And you know, right now the Raiders definitely are in a beneficial position because they have their quarterback at under market value, and Derek Carr has not come out and publicly said, hey, it's time for a new contract. I talked to him about it privately a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, I definitely want to be here, and if something were to happen, I'm all for it, but I'm letting my agent and the team handle that. And if they come to me with something that that everyone is cool with, I'd be happy to sign it. So I like the approach, though, and it kind of goes back to what you're saying, because other quarterbacks in this position could very easily start playing a little bit of hardball where he is in his contract.
And those that understand or have the want to get rings more than a paycheck are the ones like Brady and Carr that aren't going to break the bank and understand that that money can be spent well around them.
Yes, exactly.
As far as Mariota goes, and I think this is the thing with Gruden last year, he really did get kind of predictable. But with a package of Mariota, that gives you those four, five, six plays that they could practice that nobody sees on film, whether it's week to week. You might show a couple or a three, and then they change it up. And when Mariota comes in, it's something else. And you know as well as I do, and the rest of Raider Nation that's smart and follows this, there's really not a whole lot of time throughout the week to week in the NFL, to go over all kinds of different things that a team is going to throw at you. And Taysom Hill proved that over in New Orleans. But there really isn't another team now, like the Raiders, that are poised in that kind of position to really throw a wrinkle in like Reed has, where he has five of those ace up his sleeve plays each week, where if other stuff isn't working, he can go ahead and do this. And more times than not, it's a scoring play. You know, when they have the Chiefs on their heels in the Super Bowl or any other game, they don't play as well. Yeah, sure, they can come back with one of those plays and make a 10-point game back to a one-score game or whatever. But, to really have them on their heels like the Raiders did and like the Bucks did, it was a positional battle that just overpowered some of those Chiefs players. And that's the mano-a-mano battle that I think that the Raiders have been concentrating on to build this roster and go ahead and go after them again. And you can bet that they want two games and two wins against the Chiefs, not like what they let them get away with last year. But I just really think that the Raiders are poised in a position to go ahead and have something a little bit quirky, a little bit different, that other teams are going to have to try to prepare for, that is going to concentrate and take up their time in preparation for this team.
I completely agree. And, just for a little bit of background, because I was pushing for it last year, but last year unfolded... Yeah, last year unfolded in such a way where right off the bat, it was obvious that Marcus Mariota was hurt. We saw it in training camp. He was throwing balls into the ground, and it was like, whoa, what's going on here? Thought he was just being tentative or what? Or, I didn't know. But then come to find out that he had suffered a pectoral injury. There were some other physical issues that had carried over from the Tennessee years. And so basically, the Raiders put him on IR and let him get better. And so all of that you're talking about with, the packages and all that kind of stuff, it got away from the Raiders and it got away from Marcus Mariota, because if you remember, he was on injury reserve for a long time. And even when he came back, it took him a while to get back onto the regular roster. It wasn't until late in the season that he was able to do it. The Raiders, I think, would have loved to have had a healthy Marcus Mariota, both spiritually and body-wise, for the bulk of the season. And I do think that they would have been able to tap into him more often than obviously they did last year. But that just wasn't how it all played out. But I'd be kind of shocked if that didn't happen this year. I feel like a healthy Marcus, a year under his belt in this system, in a much better place physically, in a much better place mentally. He was kind of a broken down guy when he got here last year. And the Raiders and Marcus has talked about this, the credit that he gives John Gruden and the Raiders for just giving him the space and time needed. There was no, hey, we're paying you, what was it? $8 million, whatever the case might be. Hurry up. It was actually the opposite. They understood, hey, there's some issues here physically and probably confidence-wise as well. Let's build him back up. They still had him under contract, for this year, so they knew that the investment that they were making, even kind of behind the scenes to get him right in so many different ways, could actually benefit them this year. And I think that now that he has He's back, you know, physically. He's back mentally. He looked pretty good during OTAs when we saw him. Can't wait to see the 2021 version of Marcus Mariota. But if he's still on the roster, and there's always the possibility that a team might come knocking on the Raiders' door, dissatisfied with what they have at quarterback, and say, hey, you know, what would it take to get Marcus Mariota? Marcus would have to sign off on it. He has a no trade clause, but that's good for him, because I doubt very seriously if a contender or somebody that that he felt like he was going to get a legitimate shot to start with, I don't think he would block that trade. But short of that, he's going to be with the Raiders, and he's going to be here another year. And now the way he knows this offense, and the way the Raiders know him, and the confidence that they have in him, I'd be shocked if they didn't tap into him a little bit. And remember, when he did have to play last year, and we're talking about, hey, go out there and play. Right early in a game, Derek Carr went out against the Chargers, and all of a sudden Marcus Mariota, who, if I remember correctly, was the first game that he dressed out in, or maybe the second game that he was on the active roster last year, and he got pressed into duty and played beautifully. He played really well, and he showed some things that are different than Derek Carr, and you know what Derek brings to the table. And so it's hard for me to believe that the Raiders can't figure out a way to tap into that situationally. I'm not saying that he's going to split reps with Derek Carr or anything like that, but as Raider Dave said, you know, if there's a way, there are other teams have shown, the Saints in particular have shown, there's ways to utilize a backup quarterback who brings something completely different than what the starter has. And even just in preparation, when you're another team and you have to take away from what you're doing, prepare for the other team's starting quarterback and what that offense looks like, the time it takes away to now have to prepare for the package that Marcus Mariota is playing, because if the Raiders do that early on, it's going to plant a seed for everybody else, and especially if they have some success, and especially if they go to it a few times during a game. All of a sudden, once that gets on film, every team is going to have to deal with that, and that means that every time whoever plays the Raiders during their preparation week, they're going to have to account for that, and that takes away from what they're having to do to stop Derek Carr and the Raiders offense. So yeah, I'm all for that. I've endorsed it for a while. It didn't work out like that, unfortunately, for the Raiders or Marcus Mariota last year due to circumstance, but why not? You know, why not? It just adds another wrinkle to that offense when your quarterback is a legit threat to run the ball. Now, in Derek Carr's defense, last year he did run with the ball more than he had in the past. He got some key first downs. That was all the Raiders were ever asking him to do. Like, look, if we need 3 yards, if we need 4 yards, and you're the one that has to get it, go get it. Go get it. It's important, and it keeps drives alive. And Derek Carr did. He looked more comfortable doing it last year. He looked effective doing it last year. I would expect that that's going to continue this year. Again, it's another element, but by no means is he Marcus Mariota, who's just electrifying with his legs. And I'll say this, we saw that last year during training camp. Even though he couldn't throw a lick because of that injury to the pectoral, he was still running it pretty darn good. And it was like, wow, okay, that's unique. That's different. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bajada.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. It is a Monday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is a hot Monday, although it's not as hot as it was this weekend. This weekend was just brutal. Brutal on a weather tip, that's for sure. But as hot as it was weather-wise, it was even hotter when it comes to the entertainment value, the sports value in Las Vegas. It was going off this weekend in Las Vegas on so many different levels. And a very good friend of mine from back in my Los Angeles days was here to take it all in. And he's still here covering the Team USA, which is getting back out on the court, I think, today. They're playing another game today. Hopefully they can redeem themselves after the debacle against Nigeria. But without further ado, I would like to welcome in my good friend Arash Markazi from Los Angeles into the huddle. Arash, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know it's a busy day for you. Really, really appreciate it. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah, Vinny. I mean, like, we have experienced hot in the San Fernando Valley. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like this weekend. 117 degrees. That is next level heat right there.
It is, Arash. And by the way, you could follow Arash at Arash Markazi. He's also he has his own radio show out in Los Angeles, or kind of Los Angeles, San Diego. I know the signal carries really far, but it's the 1090, the Mightier. So he has his show there. He does a whole bunch of other stuff, including WWNXT, the wrestling, the new wrestling league that is going on right now as well. So Arash has his hand in a lot of different things. Arash, I got to say, living here about a year and a half or so, you get to a point where, yes, 117, it's just, it's mind-boggling. But what it ends up doing, where, you know, once you have a couple of those days straight or three or four of those days straight, all of a sudden 101, 104 feels pretty darn good. It's like the weirdest thing where you're like, oh, this is fine. 104 is fine. Never would have been able to say that a couple of years ago, but you get to that point. I hate having to get to that point, but that's the way it is. And Arash is right. We've spent some hot days in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, but this is all next level. That said, Arash, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how going off level was Las Vegas this weekend with everything that was going on?
You know, I have to say a 10 just because, you know, for 15 months we have not experienced Vegas like this, and probably for like a while. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to the Bruno Mars concert at Park MGM on Friday, was at Conor McGregor UFC 264 on Saturday. And then, Team USA today, they play today and tomorrow, and then you got the WNBA All-Star Game. So, I mean, there's so much happening, but it really came to a head on Saturday. I think that was the date that a lot of people around the country, and certainly in Las Vegas, had circled as the sort of, like, we are back to normal in terms of Garth Brooks at Allegiant Stadium, Bruno Mars, UFC 264, Chelsea Handler. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, Justin Bieber, from like entertainment, sports, you name it, Vegas was back. And you know, since June 1st, as you guys know, I mean, it's been back. You know, no masks, no social distancing, 100% capacity. So it's really exciting, and you know, just looking forward to this being the beginning of a great run for Las Vegas.
You know, Arash, when you were naming all those and listing all those events, I was thinking to myself, look, I've been plenty of weekends in Los Angeles, as you well know, where maybe on a Saturday or a Sunday, the Dodgers are playing, the Rams are playing, the Angels are playing, you know, and we could go on and on with the concerts, great concerts, and all on a one-day basis. We've had friends, I'm sure you have, I know I have, that tried to get to all of them just to see if they could do it on one day, get to every big event that's going on in Southern California at that particular time. But the reason why that is so difficult to do as opposed to Las Vegas is it's all stretched out. And even trying to get from, let's say, the Coliseum to Dodger Stadium, sometimes that could be an ordeal in and of itself, or to Staples Center. But here in Las Vegas, I think the one thing that I'm noticing is how close everything is to each other. You could have walked to a bunch of those different events. I know it was blazing hot, but if it wasn't and you were wanting to get a good walk, you could literally walk to all of those events on Saturday night. That's pretty cool, and I think it makes Las Vegas fairly unique in that regard.
Exactly. I mean, there was one thing that I regretted on Saturday, is that I could have gone to Team USA's game against Nigeria prior to the UFC 264 main card, but I mean, quite frankly, I knew I was going to go to a couple more games, and I never expected that to be the upset it was. I mean, you know, USA is a favorite by 29 points at most sports books. And so, you know, but yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, Bruno Mars at Park Theater right across the street. You got UFC 264, Allegiant Stadium, 1 mile away. Mandalay Bay, like 1 mile away. And so, you know, obviously when it's 117 degrees, not necessarily walkable, but I mean, again, you are so close. So this is not like Dodger Stadium to the Coliseum or the Coliseum to the Rose Bowl. I mean, you really literally on an, by the way, when we get to the fall, these are all walkable. When you have an event at T-Mobile, Park Theater, like MGM, Allegiant. So that's the beautiful thing. And again, Vegas is going to improve upon that, like as you guys know, with the monorail and everything that's happening in terms of public transportation. I mean, this is just such an amazing time with T-Mobile and Allegiant Stadium. All those big events that had not been coming to Vegas for years will finally come here.
We're talking to my good friend, Arash Markazi. He's in Las Vegas for all these different events, including Team USA over at UNLV. You can follow him at Arash Markazi. He's one of my good friends back in my Los Angeles days and a tremendous follow and talented in everything that he does. And believe it or not, Arash has a long history with Las Vegas. I didn't really know until years later that the connection that Arash had with Las Vegas. But as it turns out, he's spent a lot of time here for a lot of different reasons. And as you go back, you know, track your course in Las Vegas from however many years ago, could you have pictured this? Could you have envisioned this? Obviously, the entertainment element was always there. But now the sports element and beyond just the boxing and the potential of UFC. Could you have envisioned it being this big of a sports town with the NFL, with the NHL, the possibility that Major League Baseball will be here, and maybe even the NBA?
No, you know, Vinny, I mean, the most amazing thing is, you know, we covered for 20 years, like, the struggle for Los Angeles, the number two market in the country, to get the National Football League and how hard that was. And again, you're talking about the number two market, Los Angeles, Hollywood. And for Las Vegas, literally almost seemingly at the flip of a switch, at the flip of a coin, getting not only the National Football League, but a storied franchise like the Raiders, that was shocking to me. But also, I always figured the NBA, when you talk about, you know, could you envision professional sports in Las Vegas? I'm like, maybe the NBA, you got UNLV and Jerry Tarkanian, and it's been the home of Team USA and the Summer League and whatnot. The fact of the matter is, the NBA may be the last pro sports league to come here. I mean, I do think at some point they do come here. But you look at Major League Baseball now, it looks like that's a real possibility. They got the NFL. They got the NHL. They got, you know, WNBA. Major League Soccer, I believe, will come here. So as crazy as it sounds, of all, like, if you want to say the big six, I think the NBA may be at some point in the near future the sixth league to come here. That, I think, is the most surprising thing. But also, number one for me, Vinny, just again, you and I have covered that beat for a while. The National Football League is such a tough cookie to crack. And so for not only Vegas to get a team here, to get the Raiders, you know, but they're going to be the home of the Pro Bowl, the draft, the Super Bowl. All these amazing events are going to come here now.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Arash, because, you know, when you talk about the Raiders, and obviously I think that they would, I think if everyone had to do it all over again, and I'm not talking about the Raiders because I know that they are beyond happy with how it's turned out in the long run. But if you go back to January of 2016, when the NFL was sorting all of this out, I think that there's certain people in Los Angeles that would be very happy now with the Rams and Raiders being the two teams in Los Angeles. You know, I there was a time where there was probably some reluctance for that to happen, but I think as it's all played out, I think there's certain people that would have been really happy because I think the Raiders would have held up their end of the bargain without question. It would have been kind of a USC, UCLA sort of thing, you know, with the fans, with the Ram fans and the Raider fans, but it would have worked and it would have worked beautifully. But that said, I think the Raiders ended up getting even more than they could have ever bargained for, even thinking about Los Angeles. This location for them, where it's this beautiful upcoming market here in Las Vegas, Henderson, Summerlin, all these people moving from California out here to populate this area. But also it puts them in close proximity to their fans in Los Angeles, of which we know that there's many. Their fans in the Bay Area, it's a quick flight from that area down here, or even a drive. And then also Raider Nation, the national brand, the global brand that it is, who doesn't want to come to Las Vegas on a weekend to go catch a game? So in retrospect, how good was it that the Raiders ended up here, that this was their landing spot, and to be centralized to all their fans, especially the ones in California?
Well, the beauty is Las Vegas is sort of that city that so many people love to go to. So, like, if you're a Los Angeles Raiders fan, this is perfect. It's a four-hour drive. It's a 45-minute flight. If you're an Oakland Raiders fan, again, a 60-minute flight, a six-hour drive. Those are fun, trips on the weekend. But more so than that, Vinny, you know the other situation in Los Angeles, the practice facilities, the Chargers and the Rams are still playing in makeshift practice facilities, and there's been no ground broken on a full-time, actual, permanent facility. Meanwhile, the Raiders have opened in Henderson, one of the preeminent, training facilities in the country. They have partnered with various hotels, and it really is a perfect situation for them here. So, listen, I agree with you. I think the ideal situation for all involved would have been the Rams and the Raiders in Los Angeles and the Chargers, quite frankly. Steve Spanos and the Spanos family have such a connection with Las Vegas. It didn't work out, but the Raiders lucked out here because they have such a beautiful stadium and such a beautiful setup here in Las Vegas.
The next step, obviously, for the Raiders is to win and to win big. They finished 8-8 last year. Their offense was playoff caliber, one of the top 10 offenses in the NFL. Derek Carr had a career year. I actually expect him to continue that improvement as the offensive personnel gets better around him. They have to obviously fix the defense. They've addressed it. We won't know until the regular season starts if those changes have the desired impact and effect. But from where you're sitting, your vantage point, and listening to Derek Carr talk about how they were three or four plays away from being an 11-win team, I don't think there was any lies in any of the statements that he made. I was there. It literally was that close. But from your vantage point, Arash, how viable are the Raiders in terms of making a legit playoff run this year?
It's very viable. The problem for them, Vinny, is they're in the AFC West. So, obviously, we all know how good the Chiefs are. The Chargers are obviously very high on their team with Justin Herbert, if they can stay healthy. But I like the Raiders, and I still do like them to make the playoffs. Like, I got them finishing second to the Chiefs in the West. I got them in the playoffs. We'll see how they do, but they are a team that you said, and I was at a couple of those games last year. So close. In my view, if things go their way, now that they got the Raider Nation behind them, capacity crowd, it was so cool to see a capacity crowd for that concert on Saturday. I like them finishing second and making the playoffs.
Yeah, that I got some video from the Garth Brooks concert, and seeing that stadium in full capacity was spectacular. Yeah. It's going to be quite the scene when the Raiders pack that place every Sunday and every game, which is what they're going to do. Before I let you get out of here, Arash, obviously the NBA Finals are going on right now. The Lakers aren't in it. They got knocked off. Some injuries conspired against them. But I know, hearing back in Los Angeles, obviously, everyone's angst. It's always about the Lakers, and are they going to be able to make the necessary improvements to get back to the finals next year and maximize LeBron as he hits the twilight of his career? What do you think the Lakers are going to do this offseason? And a fully healthy Laker team next year with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, are they back knocking on the championship door?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think some of the odds in Vegas have them in the top two or three. So they're definitely going to be back in championship contention. The biggest offseason addition that they will make is a 5-month full offseason for LeBron James.
in Anthony Davis. I talked to some trainers in prior to this season, and Vinny, they said, if you made it to the conference finals, if you were in Orlando in that bubble for 60, 70, 80, like the Lakers were there for 100 days, they said, don't look for them to make a finals run. It's just physically not possible. They only had a 70-day off season. So the biggest thing for them is they have a full off season, come back healthy. They will make some tweaks. They're going to bring in a point guard. They're going to – a team like the Lakers with the guys that they have, they're going to bring in some pieces. But really, the biggest addition, the biggest thing that they have going for them going into next season is a full five-month off season for LeBron and Anthony Davis. And if those two guys are healthy, Vinny, you're talking about two of the top five players in the league, they'll be just fine.
I completely agree. You could follow him at Arash Markazi. That's M-A-R-K-A-Z-I. He's a good friend. We go way, way back in Los Angeles. So glad you were able to come on the show. Don't be a stranger. We won't be a stranger with you as well. Can't wait to get you back on to get your thoughts, especially as the NFL season starts coming into to play. Arash, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Las Vegas, and we'll catch up really soon.
Thanks, Vinny. You're the best. I'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. That's Arash Markazi, one of the renowned reporters in Los Angeles and nationally, too. He just has a knack for being able to uncover great stories and be in the middle of a lot of great stories that are unfolding, including this weekend here in Las Vegas, where he was the man about town. Always enjoy talking to Arash. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.